I'm wrestling, do not weep for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to episode number 99 of the T. Rowan Funky Show, brought to you, as always, by Defend Soap. Defend what you have built and Dahlemer Mats. Tommy, did anyone think we would make it this close to 100?
I don't think anyone thought it could happen, including me and you.
Yeah, I mean, we started it as kind of a fun thing. I didn't know how long it was going to last. Now, we're more than 2 years later, and we're approaching episode 100. I feel like that is like an accomplishment that should be celebrated. So maybe those of you on Twitter listening to this can come up with something fun for us to do for
what episode 100. What should we do to celebrate episode 100?
So I was thinking, this was my random thought today, Tommy, because I was checking what episode we were on. I saw 98 was the last one. Obviously, this is 99. I was thinking the three greatest American wrestlers of all time, Jordan Burroughs, Kyle Snyder, and John Smith, trying to get them all on the podcast. What do you think?
At the same time?
No, they're separate times.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But then I was also thinking, there's not going to be much to talk about this week. We could always wait a week and do it as the Big Ten recap, which are, conference weekend recap / NCAA preview show. Maybe make it a little longer or something to that effect. That might be something fun to do.
I like it. I mean, let's hear from the listeners, and then you and I can put our thinking caps on. We got to do something fun, though. I agree with that.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, and so for our listeners, Tommy got us press passes to
media credentials, baby.
I'm sorry, media credentials. I won't be able to attend, Tommy. And I saw who you invited as your co-host, and I'm a little bit nervous because that is a lot of Buckeye homerism.
Well, he also is a great orator, and okay, we'll fill in for you in a good way.
But you can't be too much Buckeye homerism.
Bucker homerism.
If you too much Buckeye homerism, people are just going to tune out.
Listen. I understand, but if the Buckeyes are winning the tournament, it might be a buck cast.
A buck cast. Huh. Yeah, actually, I saw a bunch of people on Twitter commenting that the Mizzou UNI, which was broadcast by Flo, that they were cheering very heavily for UNI on the broadcast, and I didn't hear much of that when I watched it. So, but that's what I'm kind of nervous is going to happen with you and Mike.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to do? You want me to get Scott Barker on as the co-host or
no,
something?
No, maybe like David Taylor. We could get some Penn State in there so it's solid back and forth.
Well, okay, yeah, let's get him in there. I mean, okay. I'm okay with that.
Get a couple co-hosts.
I'm down.
Okay. So, Tommy, we've been down on the Buckeyes two weekends in a row now. And finally, they looked – I mean, there was one bad match for them, but generally speaking, I thought they looked really good against a very tough NC State team.
Yeah, they stepped up, wrestled well. Still probably not what I think they need to have in place to win the tournament, but it was a step in the right direction, nice way to close out the regular season. And, yeah, I'll take it. It was good. We also had some other good results this week. I mean, we had Mizzou over Northern Iowa in a convincing fashion.
Wait,
we had
who else? Oh, Virginia Tech versus NC State was a good match as
well. That was Friday.
That was it for good ones, I think. Penn State Buffalo, I mean, that was like 64-0.
Okay, I'll tell you what was crazy about that match. Did you see some of the highlights?
Yeah, well, I know what you're going to bring up, and we were talking about this exact point last week. We were talking about Vincenzo Joseph getting headlocked.
That's right.
We talked.
That's right.
We literally discussed this last week. How he's getting like overly arrogant, or I don't remember what I use overly arrogant. I don't know what words you use to describe the way he just like stands up and walks at you with overhooks. But the guy from Buffalo chucked him.
That's how he's always wrestled. I disagree with that, but I haven't been watching him that long, but I think he's like, everybody knows what I have, and it bothers me now because they wrestle me differently. Like, it's like, dude, you think you're the first. I mean, to me, that's how I feel like it looks. I mean, I don't know how you think it looks.
No, that's, I think you and I were in agreement last week that was the case.
Well, what's interesting, though, Ben, is it's like that's happened to, I mean, lots of guys over the course of wrestling history. So,
yeah, absolutely. That's a huge thing. You know, once you get good, every bright wrestling mind in the country is scouting you and watching what you do well, and they're gonna give you their best. And so, you know, the best of the best of the best, generally, they don't maybe not change a lot, but they constantly make small evolutions that makes it really hard for them to keep up with.
No doubt. And obviously he's having a good season, so it's not like he's struggling per se, but his frustration level seems to be at a feverish pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be really interesting going into Big Tens. Obviously he's going to have at least one really tough match, but I probably think he's going to be the 3 seed. IMR will be 1. Marinelli will be 2, so we'll get that rematch in the semis. Who's going to be, if he's the 3... Let me check this out. Who's going to be the 6 then? Because Big Ten's so deep at that weight. It's probably going to be. What if it was Logan Massa? Let me see.
That'd be wild.
Okay,
likely
Imar 1, Marinelli 2, Joseph 3, Richie Lewis 4, Wanzek 5, Logan Massa 6. Your choices are Wanzek, Massa, White, or Wick, all of whom are very tough.
That'd be wild.
That would be.
The Big Ten. The Big Ten has 5 guys in the top 8 in Flo's rankings, which is normal stuff.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, and they have what in the top 11? They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have 8 in the top 11. Tommy. Whoa.
Yeah, boy.
Whoa.
How about them apples?
Oh man, that's wow! That's stacked, very stacked.
No, 8 in the top 12, 9 in the top 14.
Wow, yeah. So that's gonna be a stacked bracket come Big Tens. Hey, let's get into this NC State Ohio State match because I think there's definitely some things to dissect. I know you have bragging rights. You beat me on a bet that we made. So let's just start it. The duel started at 184. Now the score was 8-1, Tommy, but that's or it was 8-2, but it was 8-1. But the score was not indicative of how close the match was. So for those of you who didn't watch Pete Renda versus Miles Martin, Miles got an early takedown. The Renda got 2 escapes. Miles had 1 escape. So it's essentially it's 3-2 with 20 seconds left. Renda's in on a decent high crotch, working for the finish, and Martin hits him with a cradle off the high crotch for 6. Making it, so it was 9-2 final score. So, you know, 9-2 could be an ass-kicking, or 9-2 can be really competitive. And this 9-2 was really, really competitive.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that obviously when you're only up 3-2 and a guy gets your leg to close out the match, you could say you darn near lost. So in a lot of ways, Ben, that's true. But I also feel like, Miles Martin kept it close for whatever reason, but I didn't think he was overly in danger other than for 3 seconds at the very end of the match. Now,
sure.
He should, in my opinion, he should have been up 7-2 with him in on his leg, not 3-2. But
why 7-2?
Oh, just because I feel like he's that much better.
Oh, let me tell you why I think it was so competitive. Is, you know, kind of almost like we talked about with Vincenzo. I think Miles Martin, I think the best thing he does is reattacks. He has these lightning quick reattacks off down blocks, off other people's shots. And so I believe, if I remember correctly, that's what happened off the first takedown. And then it was kind of like Renda really shut it down because he felt he didn't feel a great opportunity to attack, and he knew if he took a poor opportunity to attack that Miles was going to score on a re-attack. So, you know, he was really hesitant to pull the trigger. And if you watch the match, you know, Renda does not pull the trigger till that last shot with whatever short time left. So I think that was why it was so close. But, hey, listen, Tommy, if I'm a coach and they're wrestling Miles Martin, man, I'm going to tell my guy maybe pull back on the attacks because those re-attacks are so dangerous.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. And that's where you just got to get used to any type of strategy that's used against you. You got to be able to freaking wrestle. And, you know, I think he should have opened up a little bit more and built a bigger lead, but I thought he was in control and it wasn't an overly bad match for me.
Sure. That's fair. I mean, Renda's number three ranked in the country. So, you know, if Miles is the number two guy, has to beat him 3-2. That's what has to happen. It's not like that hasn't happened 1,000 times in U.S. history.
Right.
Yeah. So the next match, this was a fun match. Mike Machiavello versus Colin Moore. And Machiavello was 7, and he lost a very competitive match with the current number one, Jared Haught, on Friday night. And on Sunday, he's got the old number one, Colin Moore. And, man, it was an awesome match. He won at the buzzer. Colin Moore, Tommy, we texted about this too. He's struggling. You're saying it's not weight cutting. You're closer to the situation than myself. If I didn't know, if you were telling me, and I'm still not totally convinced, I would think it's a weight cutting issue. He does not look good at any duel this year.
Well, I don't have inside information. Even if I did, I wouldn't tell you. But I'm just kidding. I would tell you off the record. But but I think it's the pressure of the season. I mean, I've said this on the podcast a lot, Ben, and my inclination is that he's never been a marked man. He's got he's built a expectation or a standard around his performance, and the pressure of the season is wearing on him a little bit. It's happened to all of us at varying levels. And I think that, and I hope that he can process it effectively before the end of the year, because I just see things wearing on.
It's going to be these couple losses that are going to take some of the pressure off him. And you know, Big Tens is not like as tough as 165 is, but it's still going to be, he's still going to be pretty competitive. He's going to have a handful of good matches. So just so you know, we can recap here. Colin Moore's number 4 in the country. Moore's 4. Sugar Rashid is number 6. Cash Wilkie is number 8. Wow. And then you got to go all the way down to Kevin Beasley at number 17. So considerably weaker at 197. But you know, he'll have good matches from Rashid and maybe not Wilkie. Maybe you never know.
This Rashid Kassar thing, if Penn State wins the national championship by a spread of the difference that Rashid scores at the national tournament, boy, is that a tough pill to swallow for the Buckeyes.
Why do you say that?
Well, because
you thought he wasn't going to be good?
When the season started, I guess I just wasn't factoring these guys in.
I was factoring McCutcheon is maybe a low AA or somewhere like that.
That's right. So you got, if Rashid takes second or first or third and they win by a balance of like 16 team points, I mean, you have to point to that as, and that's coaching, man. I mean, that's freaking coaching. I mean, that is just some darn good coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. And with Kale's case, I was actually just talking to someone about this the other day. In Kale's case, he hasn't really got much of an opportunity to prove that he develops guys who aren't that good. Now, he's better than anyone currently, or maybe anyone ever, at making good guys even better. You know, if you see a Zane or a Nolf or a David Taylor, right? But as far as getting guys who weren't very good and then all of a sudden they're very good, you can't point to a ton of examples that Kale's done that in, but this would be a great one.
No doubt. So Yeah, that'll be a tough one. And, okay. And Colin Moore, in his two losses, just did not wrestle anywhere like he's capable of. And I don't think it's injury or cutting weight related.
So what about that stall call in the first period? What about that?
There were some tough calls in that match, and had Colin.
Okay, but wait, no. You know what the thing that so Machiavelli hits kind of like a go behind. He's on like the hamstring and the waist. He's trying to run it down. He drives Colin Moore out of bounds, and they call him for stalling. And so it was a huge blown call. And where I think the ref might have thought Machiavelli was on top for some reason and was trying to drive him out of bounds to stop the escape from happening, but he was actually trying for a takedown.
Honestly, I don't even know what was going on there.
It was just so beyond ridiculous.
Yeah, sure was.
Okay, but how about that last 30 seconds? That was so on fire. So Machiavelli gets a takedown, gets called for the
it was, I mean, it was on
awesome.
Fire.
It was awesome. Gets called for the locked hands, so that puts it within 1 point. Colin Moore gets to escape with like 9 seconds left to tie it up to go to overtime. Machiavelli just goes after him, gets a takedown, boom, the crowd goes nuts.
Oh, you're throwing salt on the wound.
It was so awesome. I got to train at NC State. The last couple times I went down for Super 32, I've stopped in and got a few workouts with NC State, and I love the work that Pat Popolizio is doing down there. And Mike Machiavelli was, you know, I saw him the last couple of years. He was a guy, so they all said, this guy, he's not very good, but he works his ass off, and he's going to be pretty good next year. And so it's pretty cool seeing him have that success.
That is cool. And, yeah, he seems like he's, you know, stepping on the scene. What was his deal in high school, Ben? Do you even know?
I have no idea what Mike Machiavelli – I can research it real fast. But that's – so we talked earlier about Cale not developing guys who weren't very good. There's not a lot of programs in the country. I would say Missouri does it well, Nebraska does it well, but right now, today – NC State is doing it better than anyone, finding guys who aren't blue chip recruits and making them tough as hell.
Yeah, no, he's doing a great job. No question about it.
All right. Mike Machiavelli from Monroe, North Carolina, Sun Valley High School. He was a one-time state champion and finished third and sixth. So, you know, like I said, not an amazing high school career. It's turned into quite a good wrestler.
That's right. Impressive.
Yeah. Okay, so that was an awesome match. Snyder smashes Boykin.
Look good,
but you know, whatever. Tomasello, I thought, you know, I can't get into matches that are blowouts. I don't want to talk about it. Whatever. Next match.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, so next match was Nathan Tomasello versus Sean Foss, which I think they're 4-5 maybe right now in the rankings.
Yeah, and it wasn't really close.
It wasn't close, not at all.
Gosh, yeah. Nate Tomasello, I don't know how he lost to Spencer Lee. I know that sounds weird, but he looked great.
Yeah, he looked really good. Foz is obviously super tough. Went down to the wire with Dayton Fix this year. Had some really good wins, but you know Tomasello kind of secured himself that top four. And you know, I kind of feel like they did this game on FRL Flow Radio Live about how many guys can win it. And I think when you look at that top four at 125, I think there's kind of a big jump down to number five, which is Sean Foss. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I do. I do, for sure.
So, yeah. Okay. 133, we got... I don't know. This wasn't an important match. I didn't watch it.
No, next. Pletcher looked good, but it wasn't anything crazy. It was the number 13 guy. I forget the guy's name. It escapes me. But there's a clear gap. You'd probably take that match 10 times out of 10 for Pletcher.
Yeah, and so now 141... I have to eat some crow. Tommy, you told me Joel McKinnon was going to win. I told you, you're full of crap.
I said I deserve odds. Not, I don't think I needed them. I just deserve odds.
Well, I thought you deserved odds because you weren't very good at push-ups.
Well, that's true, too.
How many push-ups could you do right now if you got down on the floor without taking a break?
I don't even want to admit how little I think of myself right now. So I'm not answering the question.
That is funny. Oh, man. Okay.
So, yeah, back to me.
McKenna looked great, though. He looked great. You were totally right. He looked awesome.
Good. He, you know, Ben, even though I called that match, I was surprised and would not have predicted the lack of ability to initiate any sort of comeback by Kevin Jack.
Well, they were talking, and again, I just listened to FRL. That's why it's kind of fresh on my mind. But they were talking about this. And generally speaking, Kevin Jack is pretty good at getting to legs. I mean, if you think about the match where he beat Dean Heil, I think he got in three or four times in the third period before he finally got that winning takedown. I mean, generally speaking, he can go get leg attacks. But McKenna kind of shut him down, and they were talking about on FRL how, you know, McKenna keeps that really low stance. Lots of times has the one hand on the mat. You know, he's made it really tough for Jack to get his hands on him.
Yeah, two takedowns, riding time, didn't have to take down. And why would you when you have that kind of lead? It was dominant from start to finish. I mean, he had the first takedown, and I don't know how quickly, but quick.
Yeah, 7 seconds maybe? You're right. It was lightning quick.
I mean, how many different guys, Ben, do you think could win this weight class?
So we legitimately said, yeah, no, we said four. We said four at 125. Seven? Can I say seven?
Let's go through it.
Okay,
here.
I want to go through. I'm on there right now.
Legitimately.
Yeah. So you got right. Okay, Meredith Ironman, Diamakahalas,
McKenna, Jack,
Zachril Heil. Nick Lee.
I don't think Zachril
can win it. I don't think Nick Lee can win it. Man,
I think six.
Dean has looked terrible this year, but obviously with past successes.
You can't count him out.
It's impossible.
In fact, I bet a lot of people would still pick him.
You think so?
I'd have a hard time picking again. I mean, I'm probably going to take McKenna, but you know, that's just because you know why. Yeah, I mean, Dean Heil would be high on my list.
Okay. But this weight, I think I would go – well, Ironman won because I'm only at six. But Ironman would be my favorite because I'm a homer. I'd go Yanni 2 and Bryce 3. Man, and honestly, before 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't have counted McKenna as a possibility.
Now you got to. He's beaten Lee and
I think
Jack.
You have to.
Well, he's got one loss, and it was a terrible loss. But because of his two most recent wins, you could say that's an aberration.
Sure. That's fair. That's fair.
We're talking about a guy that got third in the country.
But didn't place last year.
That's right. That's right. I'm with you. I see where the holes are.
Yeah. So okay. So we'll say he can win. So we say six at that weight. Keyshawn looks good. Man, how about Hayden Hidley and your boy Micah Jordan? He struggled, didn't he?
He did, and I got to be honest, I didn't even know what Hayden Hidley looked like, let alone watch him wrestle.
Really?
Yeah. Now,
wow.
I had read about him a lot, so I knew he was good. I was very impressed.
I mean, Tommy, the guy's a freshman, and he's undefeated.
Yeah, he's a physical specimen for a freshman, too. But, yeah, who are some of his quality wins besides Mick Jordan?
He beat Joey LaValle in overtime at Reno. That was one of his big ones. And I don't know that he's beaten any other really highly ranked guys. So, you know, it's really funny because number 1, 2, and 3, Nolf Kemmer and Hidley, and even number 5, Shields, are all from central Pennsylvania. So those guys grew up together wrestling. And I know I've heard that Hidley has never, ever beaten Michael Kemmer in his entire life.
Well, yeah, 1 year separation is a big deal in high school too. So not a big deal, but a big enough deal. It's a lot less of a deal in college.
Yeah. The older you get, the less it means. But how crazy is that that four of the top five are all from central Pennsylvania?
Yeah, and isn't Berger from PA?
Tyler Berger from Pennsylvania?
From Nebraska.
Oh, yeah, duh. I don't know. You want me to look it up? I can look it up.
Look it up. I think he's a PA kid. I don't know why I'm saying that, but...
It's probably South Dakota. It's the only place they recruit from. Nope.
That's true.
Oregon.
Oregon. Okay.
Oregon. Yeah. Okay. So, man, Micah's got a rough go at it, Tommy. Micah's all the way. He's down at number six. He's another guy, you know, so him and Bo are both having kind of rough goes at it this year. Those are two guys that the Buckeyes probably need to finish top four, I would say, if they want to, you know, at least top four, if they want to keep pace with Penn State.
Okay, I don't want to go off on the team race tangent, but...
Well, it's prevalent this time of year, right?
I've had multiple conversations about this, so I'm kind of prepared to discuss it. But don't you... If Ohio State matches Penn State finalist for finalist, don't you think Ohio State's going to win?
So you're saying Penn State and Ohio State have as many finalists as each other. Yeah. So that would mean Penn State probably has five. Are we counting Nulf or not counting Nulf?
We're just talking out. I'm just saying Ohio State has more depth at the NCAA tournament level. I think that the only way Penn State wins, which I think they're favorites right now, so I'm not saying that Ohio State's favorite, but I think the only way they win, Ben, is by having more finalists. When I really look at it.
Bonus, I mean, Ohio State doesn't bonus at nearly the rate Penn State does. I mean, we're talking literally between, okay, if Nolte, so I'll say not healthy Nolte and healthy Nolte, healthy, between Zane, Vincenzo, Mark Hall, and Bo Nickel, they're going to have 30 bonus points between those three. If you count Nolfin, they're probably going to have almost 40 bonus points between those four or those five.
Stop.
What?
You're right.
I am right. That's a shit ton of points.
That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points. When you look at Ohio State, Nato's going to get some bonus, but not he won't match, say, Zane. Pletcher won't get much bonus. McKenna won't get much bonus. Keyshawn won't get too much bonus. Micah won't get much bonus. Tishon won't get much bonus. Bo won't get very much bonus. Miles, he'll probably get some solid bonus. Colin Moore, I would have said yes at the beginning of the year. Now I'm not so sure. And Kyle's going to get solid bonus. So,
hey, but, Ben,
what?
How about this?
What?
The number two team in America, half of their starters only have one loss.
Who is that? Ohio State?
Yeah.
Who's only got one loss?
Tomasello. Pletcher.
Wait. Tomasello lost to. Yeah, he's only. No. Yeah, he's only got one loss. You're right. Okay. Go ahead.
Tomasello.
Pletcher.
Pletcher. McKenna.
McKenna's only got one loss?
Yes, to Thorne.
No. McKenna's got more losses than that.
He's got one loss, dude.
Oh, okay. I'm going to look him up. Keep going.
Martin and Snyder.
And Colin Moore's got two.
And Colin Moore's got two.
How many does Bojo and Micah have?
Bojo has two to Valencia, one to Hall, and one to Amin.
Yeah, but Joey McKenna only has like 12 matches, Tommy.
Right, but here's the thing, Ben. What? Yes, he only has one loss, but he's beaten two top eight guys, dude. He's 2-0 versus the top eight.
He's 12-1. I mean, he has almost no matches.
Okay. But I'm saying.
And the only guy, Nick Lee.
He's got two top eight wins.
Okay, Nick Lee is like a borderline top 10. And Kevin Jack's high. Okay, but okay. He hasn't faced.
How many top eight wins does Bryce Meredith have this year?
Way more.
I'll bet
you on this.
Beat Ironman.
Okay, hold on. I'm looking it up right now. Hold on, Tommy. I'm on fire on the research end today.
Yeah, I think you're gonna feel stupid on this.
No, I'm not. Okay, Bryce Meredith has beaten Chad Red. Is Red top 10?
No,
Red's 12. Okay, So he's beaten Red twice.
You can't say Red. I was talking about top eight.
Okay, top eight. Mason Smith. Is Mason Smith top 10?
Nope.
Oh, he's 10th. He's 10th. Tommy, he's 10th.
I'm talking about top eight.
I'm talking about top eight. He beat Jay Nierman, Kevin Jack, Dean Heil, and Seth Gross.
So the number three guy.
That's four.
No, Seth Gross is not.
He counts.
No, he doesn't.
Count him.
So the number one guy that everyone's clamoring for is 3-0 versus the top eight. And McKenna's 2-0 versus the top eight. What's up?
But I would also say that Ironman's number two, Yanni. I mean, he's wrestled all of the best guys, and you can't say something similar about Joey McKenna.
I think you can. I think he's 2-0 versus the top eight. End of the discussion. Boom.
Just boom.
Anyways, where were we?
We were debating Joey McKenna. Oh, no, you're saying Joey McKenna only had one loss, and then I said you're full of crap. Okay, well, let's move on. We talked about, Ohio State, NC State. We talked about Vincenzo getting headlocked. That was funny. Vincenzo, stop being thrown, bro. And then Mizzou, you and I, very good duel outside the Big Ten. And there was a bunch of highly ranked matches, of which Missouri won all of them. And
that's right.
As I was watching Daniel Lewis, Tommy, I was thinking that, wow, this guy could compete with the best guys. Everyone's kind of sleeping on him. He's undefeated. He's got bonus in like 95% of his matches or more this year. But when I started thinking about what he can do, he can attack the legs really well. He can defend leg attacks. He can scramble. He can get away from bottom. And he can ride just about as good as anyone in the country. People are sleeping on Daniel Lewis. He can go with any of these guys.
No doubt. I mean, just the amount of bonus that he has scored. He's legitimately a Hodge contender if he had more of a name at a bigger school. Wouldn't you say?
So if he's obviously going to win the max. If he went and beat Mark Hall and Anthony Valencia, which he's probably going to be likely to be the three seed is what I would guess. If he goes and beats those two back-to-back and he has, say, a few bonus early in the tournament, I mean, is he going to beat Zane? Probably not, but could he be top two or top three in the Hodge? Absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he really could.
So let's see. Bonus. Okay, he only beat Josiana Mejias 6-0. Bonus. He only beat Jacoby Smith 7-3, and he only beat Taylor Lujan 30. So he only has three non-bonus wins.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah, it is. And so, and his lowest scoring match of the year is 6 points. So, he is having a freaking outstanding year. Really putting it on people. And, like I said, I think a lot of people are sleeping on him because, I think people even think higher of Bojo than they do of Daniel Lewis when maybe the rankings. And Miles Amin. And Miles Amin, too. But, the way that this is going to shake out with the Big Ten tournament, these guys are obviously going to beat each other up a little bit. And Daniel Lewis is going to end up at
so
the three seed.
If Bo Jordan were to win the Big Ten, I would put Lewis at two.
Two, yeah. So you'd have Lewis.
Who do you put at three? Do you put Hall at three still?
Probably Mark Hall because he has no official losses. Correct. His one loss was
right, but then he would have a loss to Jordan.
He'd have one loss.
And Jordan would have four losses. One of them to Hall. Yeah. So Jordan is on Valencia's side basically no matter what at this point.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
That's a pretty
unless he were to drop all the way to six.
He might be better off.
He might be better off. So, yeah, and Mark Hall, I'm just kind of looking through his record. He's got, mostly bonus. He went 6-4 over Bojo. He went 6-5 over Amin, 4 over Cutler, and 4 over Jadeen Bernstein. So, and 3-2 over Cutler in the duel.
Right.
So, you know, he's had a handful of close matches, not quite as many bonuses as Daniel Lewis, but obviously both of them are undefeated, and so is Zahid. So you got three undefeated guys at this weight. Yeah, and so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out between Hall and Amin and Jordan. I don't really think, I think once you go past that in the Big Ten, I don't think, you know, the next guy is Dylan Liddy. I don't think those guys are very competitive with that top three. So we're going to get Amin versus Jordan again in the semis, and then one of them will have Mark Hall in the finals.
Right. I'm cool with that.
Okay, so let's go. The other two highly competitive matches, and I know you watched this one. You got Leith against Max Thompson. Tommy, this was the first, I would say, really poor misapplication of the danger rule. The dude wasn't past 90.
No, he wasn't.
Not even close. He was at like 107 or something. I mean, come on, man. It was so bizarre. The guy was totally on his side, and the ref just throws up 2 points, and everyone's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, no, you're right. It was a poor interpretation of the rule. Kind of taken away from my call out with you on Twitter. I think it's been a great addition this year, my opinion.
Yeah, you know what I see. You know, I think maybe it will happen next year because you're right. I was incorrect. I predicted this to be much more of an issue than it's turned out to be. But yeah,
in defense of you, Ben.
What's that?
There is 40, 60. There's 70 matches, quarters, semis, and finals. There's 70 wrestling matches that really essentially define the NCAA wrestling season, sure, as well as rules interpretations going into the next year.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that sample is by far what influences how we view the application of rules. And so it really kind of honestly remains to be seen because those 70 matches,
yeah,
if you see five botched,
even two or three botched.
Yeah, so it's still up for grabs, but as the year has progressed, you got to admit it's been a pretty decent addition.
Yeah, for sure. And so one thing I was going to say is that it's kind of like it's messing with me is how easily people are turning down Tommy. And why I say that is because near fall is 45 degrees, not 90 degrees. The danger call is 90 degrees. And so why you would bail out early is beyond me because a danger takedown or a takedown, they're both worth 2 points. And when the ref says danger, that doesn't mean you're going to get near fall also because, again, danger is at 90 degrees. Near fall is supposed to be 45 degrees. And so I don't really understand why people are letting go so early.
I think you're right, Ben, and I think it's just instinctive. I don't think that they would defend themselves. I don't think there's a logic applied to it.
But why are the coaches saying, guys, what are you doing? It's 2 points either way.
Well, I think you're right. I think you almost alluded to this, but it hasn't been around long enough. People are going to get comfortable with it. Maybe next year what you predicted actually happens more.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes I see you know, the guy just turns down, and it's like the ref didn't even get the danger one. He didn't even get one. It just said the guy just turned over. It's like, listen.
I just love that those skank stalemates have left the building. That's what I love.
Well, that's fair. That's a positive. That's positive. Well, yeah. I was incorrect. I'm dumb. You're smart. I'm ugly. You're pretty. You know what movie that's from?
Yeah, it's Dumb and Dumber, right?
No, Happy Gilmore.
Oh God,
when
that's
he goes
right.
And gets when he goes and gets Chubbs back as a coach.
I know, I got it now.
Okay, in the last good match, Ironman versus Josh Albert. Albert's at 9. Ironman's at 2 or 3, depending on where you look.
Ironman has just got the goods, man.
He's good. He can scramble his butt off. And yeah, not a highly competitive match. Ironman got a takedown, put him on his back. You know, Ironman, Jaden sometimes kind of doesn't keep attacking where I think he could, but I just didn't feel like it wasn't that competitive.
No, I didn't think so either. Just kind of a smoke show.
Yeah. Okay. So what else do we want to talk about?
you know, I think as we close out the regular season and we're heading into the – really, we're not going to have much to talk about this weekend either.
Yeah, well, I'm going to the Wisconsin State Tournament, but I can't foresee our listenership being heavily involved in the Wisconsin High School State Tournament.
I think maybe we should cut it. I mean, I guess I'm thinking out loud here. Maybe cut it off now and we can do a Big Ten preview as well as just the rest of the conference championships going in. Because –
Or do we wait? It's episode 100, so do we wait till after conference championship weekend and do a big one?
Episode 100 would be yes. I agree. I think we wait.
We wait a week. Do it after conference championships. Maybe do
Because you're going to talk about the conference championships, the build up to NCAAs.
Yeah,
be an extravaganza.
And so we could do one of our shows. After the conference championships, and then we could wait and then do another show prior to when the brackets come out.
That's right.
Because the brackets.
Do you think our listeners are enjoying our pre-production planning right now?
I don't see why not. You know, maybe if they don't like it, they give us some feedback on Twitter. We're always open to that. And yeah, I'm kind of sad, Tommy. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to be at the NCAA championships this year.
You're kind of sad. I mean, I'm devastated, dude. I'm going to be in press row. Who am I going to hang out with?
Well, apparently it's going to be Mike Basilio. It's going to be Buckeye Homer time. you know what, though? This will be the first year in a while I'm not going to NCAAs. I am going to the U.S. Open this year. I haven't been to the U.S. Open in a while, so that'll be fun to go back there. I'm going to have some kids wrestling at the UWW Junior, so I'm really looking forward to that. And then obviously I'll be at Flow Nationals. So yeah, I'll be busy. I'll be all over the wrestling world. Probably starting late March.
All right, homie.
Okay. That sounds like that's all we got for him. Thanks again, Defense Soap. Thank you, Dollar Mats, and we are out of here.
Later, Ben.
Peace.
You are listening to the T-Row and Funky Show brought to you by Defend Soap. Defend what you have built.